Thank you, Emiko. And thank you for helping us hold space today. I really appreciate all of the effort that goes into making it so that we can come together in this way. So I just want a little bit about how I will hopefully lead us through today, which is I'll start with a little meditation, probably about 30 minutes. And from there, I'll give a short Dharma talk and hopefully leave about 30 minutes for question and answer. And we should be done around 7:30. Feel free to turn your camera on and off as you feel called to, and to take care of your body and its needs while we're together. I do not get offended when people turn off their cameras. I know other teachers get bothered by that. I don't. I know that Zoom fatigue is a real thing. So, yeah. So let's begin with a little meditation. So I want to invite you to find a posture that feels comfortable and supportive to you, that you can stay in for a brief period of time, for about 30 minutes, without too much discomfort, without too much distraction. You can sit in your chair, you can sit on the floor, you can lay down, you can stand. Whatever feels appropriate to your body and helpful and supportive. But as we settle into this posture, I want to invite us to just kind of check in on the physicality of our experience. And what is it like to be in your body in this moment? Are there spots that maybe feel a little tense or a little tight or a little painful? I just want to invite you to pay attention to those. See if they need any kind of attention. And as we keep settling into our physical experience, I want to invite you to bring your attention to a physical sensation that you can return to, that exists of its own accord and doesn't require too much effort on your part. For some people, it might be the feel of their feet on the ground or the weight of their clothes on their body. Maybe it's a particular sound or a smell. I lit incense before we started, so I'm noticing the smell of the incense. Other people choose to pay attention to their breath and notice it entering and leaving their physical experience. But whatever it is that you can pay attention to and return to, it doesn't require too much effort on your part. It's just there. I invite you to notice the thoughts that arise, not attaching to them so much as just saying, oh, okay. See, the thing about minds are that they're created to think. That's what they do. thoughts will arise and pass away of their own accord. We can just let that happen. So I invite you to just gently settle into the physicality, the physical experience of this body and this mind in this place at this time. And if you find yourself being distracted, just gently return back to whatever physical sensation, whatever sense experience you've chosen to pay attention to. Allowing ourselves to just notice, what's it like to be me in this body, having this experience? Not so much the specificity, not so much the specifics, but just the general nature. To ring a bell. You can sit in silence for about 25 minutes. Inviting ourselves again to return our attention to the physical sensation letting ourselves back into the experience of what's it like to be me in this body, in this moment, in this place. And I notice what happens when I don't attach to my ideas or my stories or opinions about what it's like to be me, but connect to something deeper. What's your experience underneath your opinion? What's my experience underneath my ideas? What happens when I just take up this body exactly as it is? Just want to invite you now to just take a moment to just move as you are able to. Sometimes when our bodies are still, it's good to move afterwards. So I'm going to talk a little bit today from two early Zen fascicles or writings. that were written by the founder of Soto Zen Buddhism in Japan, a guy named Dogen. And the first thing I'm going to read is from something called the Fukan Zazengi, which is often translated into English as the Universal Recommendation for Zazen. And Zazen is often mistranslated as seated meditation. Now, you'll understand why I think that's a mistranslation after I read this. You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate yourself. Body and mind of themselves will drop away, and your original face will be manifest. If you want to attain suchness, you should practice suchness without delay. Later on in that same document, he says, the Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of repose and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. In another fascicle, he writes, to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. When actualized by myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains. And this no trace continues endlessly. So again, my name is Daigon Gaither. I'm a Soto Zen Buddhist priest. And I think what's interesting about these fascicles, particularly for those of us who are queer, is to really start to look at what it is that we're trying to do here. What is it that we are doing both on the cushion and off the cushion? Why do this? And I think what's really important in the teachings, sorry, I lost my notes. I think one of the things that's really important about what Dogen is saying here, again, is that it's not about something I understand in my mind, right? It's not about something that I can create in my mind. In fact, that will lock whatever realization, whatever liberation that I might be able to experience. Gets blocked when I only think about it, when I only am looking at what my thoughts are, what my ideas are. You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate yourself. So what's the self, right? Some of us are told, the Buddha taught that there is no self. Again, I think that that's a misunderstanding of what the Buddha actually taught, which is that there's no independent and unchanging self. And in Zen and in Mahayana Buddhism, we often think of it in terms of there's the mundane sort of experience of this body, this skin bag, this set of skandhas existing simultaneously with that interconnected nature of all beings everywhere. And that those arise simultaneously, and that practice is learning how to let those two live in totality, to let them arise simultaneously without getting caught in the paradox of them, of the conventional or the ultimate. So minds are really great things. They are created to think. Bodies are really great things. They allow us an understanding of the world and to participate in the world in all of the ways that we can do that. But if that's the only part of whatever this self is, this backward step that I'm trying to illuminate, maybe I might fall short of something, right? So then I can start to piece together what it means to study this self, to study this interconnected being, this constantly changing being. And what does that look like when I live that out loud? What does that mean for how I participate in the world if I'm living that out loud? If I take what I learn and I sit down on the cushion and I start to pay attention to what my experience is in this moment, and I start to notice the way my mind operates, and I start to notice the way my body operates, if I leave it there on the cushion and I don't allow that to somehow come into the ways that I participate in the world off the cushion, then what difference does it make? So I spend a lot of time with people who are dying, and people at the end of their life oftentimes want to tell their story. And what's really interesting about that is that I also get to connect with them in their grief, and I get to be in their experience of their grief by getting in touch with my grief and being in my experience of my grief, which is a universal experience, right? But I've done this backward step, I've done this work so that I understand my grief, I understand the suffering of my grief, and I'm not afraid of it. So then I'm not dragged around by it. And so I can just sit there with someone experiencing my grief as they experience their grief. And hopefully by allowing and mirroring to them that they don't have to be afraid of this grief. Somehow together we create a moment that leads to liberation, ease. We allow myriad things to enlighten us. So early on in my practice, I got really, really sick. I had shingles and meningitis at the same time. I don't know if you've ever had either one of those things, but they're extremely painful. And so I was in the hospital and I was suffering a lot. And I remember thinking about something that another teacher had told me once, which was that in moments of physical discomfort, there's often other things that are happening in our bodies at the same time. So her instruction was, what else is there? And so I started to try to pay attention with all the pain, not denying that I was in pain, but start to see, what else is there? What was it like to not struggle against the pain, not try to push the pain away, not try to make it something else? But what else was there in this body? And in that moment, I started to feel compassion. Inside, like I felt the physical experience of compassion. I felt it in my chest, and I felt a loosening. I thought, oh, well, let's pay attention to that. It's certainly more interesting than the pain that I've been in for 4 or 5 days at this point. Let's see what that's about. And I started to think about compassion in my life and how it was that I had built compassion and the ways in which I had experienced compassion. And I not in an intellectual way, but just really like, what's it like to feel this compassion? What's the nature of compassion in this body? Is it hot or cold? Is it pulsing? Does it have a rhythm? What's it like? And I began to let go of my stories about things, and I started to just allow myself to experience it as my experience of what it's like to be me in this moment. Which then I became aware of the way that my compassion was connected to all of the people on the planet at that moment who were also experiencing compassion in themselves. Maybe not close to me, but somewhere else in the world, for sure, there were other people experiencing compassion, practicing with compassion, trying to develop a relationship to compassion. And it was kind of a liberating experience, because what happened was that I just wasn't bothered, right? Like the body and mind, all of the thoughts and the physical sensations fell away of themselves, and I just recognized the ocean of compassion that we all participate in. When I was explaining this to my teacher, he had really great advice for me. He said, great, now go sit again. Because it's not a destination. It's just, that's one experience of this body. I still live in a mundane kind of way, in an everyday experience of the world. I still have to wake up in the morning and put my clothes on and go sit meditation and do my job in the world, in the ways in which I do that. But what's great is the recognition of what that practice was, this idea of just always turning the light inward. What's it like to be me? To have the experience I'm having while I'm having it. So that in those moments of difficulty, I've begun to develop the tools necessary to stop and settle into the experience of this moment. We should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate yourself. Body and mind of themselves will drop away, and your original face will manifest. The other great thing about Zen is Zen believes that you're already enlightened, that you already have everything you need. So the idea that body and mind of themselves drop away that I don't have to do anything special other than study what it's like to be me. And then let go of the ideas about that experience, my opinions about it. Let go of my story about it. Let go of the ideas about that experience and just see if I can tap into and let the experience speak for itself. To study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by myriad things. Actualized is another word for realization, or enlightenment, or liberation. And what's great is this idea that we can just pay attention to our experience and let that connect us to myriad things, to all existence. And that connection to all things, the recognition of our interconnected nature of our being, that is how we get close to experiences of liberation. So the other thing that Zen says is there's no enlightened people, only enlightened moments. In enlightened moments, enlightenment is only an appropriate response. So what's the tools that I need to get closer and closer and closer to an appropriate response to whatever my experience is? The first thing I have to do is figure out what my experience is, right? And then as I connect to that experience and I allow that experience to connect to all the other beings and things having an experience, my experience tells me the appropriate response. But it's a very quiet and a very slow voice. So my habits of mind, my thought patterns, my ideas about how I'm supposed to be in the world, my ideas about how things are, that is that's going to stand in the way of hearing my experience of the moment. Think about those times and those moments when you've had an incredible conversation with a very dear friend. You know, those magic conversations that often happen late at night, maybe a couple of glasses of wine in, and you just sort of connect in this really intimate kind of way that's beautiful. And somehow your friend says exactly what you needed to hear in that moment. And somehow you said exactly what your friend needed to hear in that moment. How much of your thought process went into that experience? Probably not a lot. Probably the biggest causes and conditions for that experience to take place was the intimate connection you had with your friend. The experience of deep knowing and deep listening. So to recap, thinking is what minds do, and it's a great thing, but it's not really going to get us to liberation. My opinions and my ideas about my experience aren't going to get me to understanding my experience. But allowing myself to check in and experience the experience I'm experiencing while I'm experiencing it helps me get closer to an appropriate response, helps me get closer to moments of liberation, moments of real interconnectedness, moments of real liberation. Thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for your practice. I'm very grateful anytime that I get to tap into the collective wisdom that we create together.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.